We'll ask that each person speak for 2 minutes. The first person, I'll read the whole list and then I'll call you up three at a time. Steve Brown, Nia Bediako, Evan Tobias, Grace. Well, let's just start with that. Steve, Nia, and Evan. Two minutes. And you'll hold this up at 30 and then any time.
I don't care, I got enough.
Steve Brown. Okay, Steve's not here. So Nia, can you speak, please?
This is public comment. We switch the order.
Oh, I don't know the names.
Connor. Well, the mic's not on. I've got it.
Try again, Nia.
Nope.
Did she speak yesterday? She spoke earlier today. Well, she spoke.
Is it on now?
Yep.
Hi, everybody. Just in December, I'm the chair. I'm Nia Bediako. I'm also the chair of the programming committee. The committee came up with a questionnaire to the program council and to the program director, asking them certain questions based on the AFTRA contract. And Bob, you could tell whatever that acronym means. I'm not a trade unionist. The AFTRA and USOC, yeah, Bob's got it, that, them. And based on that, the committee came up with a group of questionnaires, and we asked questions, for example, do department heads attend the meeting, so forth and so on, in order to fulfill our responsibility as the program committee. I've sent that out 3 times. There are 8 people on the program council, and to date, I've gotten a response from one producer and the program director. The reason I'm mentioning that, because I think, I wish if Indra were here, I think she probably made a slight boo-boo when she said the program council, that they were fighting. It's not the program council, it's the LSB, in the LSB meeting, because I do go to all the program council meetings, and the problem there is that maybe twice they had quorum. The other meetings, they didn't have quorum. And that's the problem throughout a lot of the committees. Now, the question I asked, could we do a mailer to the listeners? And I think, where's the woman that was sitting there? I can't see that far. I think her name is Lydia. She mentioned when Lonnie made his presentation about having focus groups. We now have a survey from the programming committee that I discussed with Indra and Bernard. Happened that in that questionnaire to the listeners is, would you like to be part of a focus group? I'm mentioning that because when I talked with Indra, her hands are tied because there is not money for a budget to do a simple mailer. I could get the printing done for free. I think if we want to get money, you have to spend money sometimes. So I don't know where there's a program expense someplace where, in conjunction with the program director and the programming committee, that we could mail this thing out. So those are some of the things that hinder us in this particular committee. To do a simple mailer to the listeners is quite difficult.
Thank you. Steve?
Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Steve Brown. I'm a member of the WBAI local station board. My best wishes to the new board and the new executive director. You have a tough job. I think one of the toughest parts will be dealing with the WBAI problem. When Indra Hardat, the general manager, came up here and accused some people of hurting the station by playing the race card, I was flabbergasted. Not because the charge isn't true, but because Indromus never makes accusations. She's not into confrontation. She likes to resolve things quietly. This must have been her last resort. There is a group of people at WBAI, Justice and Unity Caucus, whose opponents are not simply people who disagree with them. They are personifications of evil. This group controls the station and the LSB. The station now is a place where members of this Justice and Unity group can call the last LSB chairperson, who is an African-American male, on Uncle Tom and a house nigger because he disapproved of their race-baiting tactics. It's a station where the program director, who I believe is sitting in this audience, can go on the air for an hour and a half and use WBAI's airwaves to personally attack me by calling me a racist because I questioned his job performance. It's a station at which any disagreement with this group results in your being called a racist or a fomenter of a racist plot to take over the station. A few hours ago, you heard Serene Roberts, who's a member of this group, come up here and pump herself up into a rage, ending by yelling and screaming into the microphone because a white plot resulted in the seating of two white technicians at the equipment table in the back. Lisa Davis was denounced 2 days ago in a letter by a former PNB member for using a personal insult as an excuse to talk about her being attacked as a black woman. I hope this board will not be bullied or guilt-tripped into being distracted from important issues by fear of being called racist, as is going on at WBAI now.
If we don't have time, I'm not going to call you. Evan Tobias.
I was actually going to talk about youth again, but very quickly. I don't think what was just talked about is a WBAI problem. I believe the problem is just the topic of racism, which is a contentious issue. I tend not to speak about it emotionally because I haven't had to suffer under it. But my constituents. I mean, I was elected to represent BAI, to represent the people of New York City, and race and class is a very contentious issue among people in New York and across the world. And if any place would be to talk about racism and the contentious issue and having uncomfortable conversations, it would be the Pacifica Network. And so we haven't really had an open dialogue about race. Obviously, there's contention, and there's issues of racism and classism. We haven't here had an open dialogue about it, so how could we expect all these local station board issues and these types of things to just go away? But what I really wanted to talk about was youth again, and from the perspective of Indra spoke about youth programming. I think it's more than just programming youth. It's about how do we infuse youth into the stations? Can we get more internships? Can we get apprenticeships? Can we get youth co-hosts? It's infusing the entire network with younger people to kind of start building up a way of, as the network builds and hopefully grows, we can actually build up and have a new group of people ready to kind of fill in the spots. And you can't just hand it off later on. I think it needs to be built up from within and broadened out. And the last thing is, when we were talking about models of distribution, I think we need to look at the internet right now and look at the open source movement, not just the software, but things like YouTube. I don't know if you've heard of that. It's just people making videos and putting them out. The hub is there, and people are creating the content. Music with Creative Commons, that's Lawrence Lessig's deal. I mean, there's tons of people making content. If Pacifica opened up a little bit, if producers took a little bit less control over things, we opened up the content, you would see Pacifica everywhere because the name would be on whatever the content that's being distributed all over the place.
Right.
So I know there's copyright issues and we need to work that out. But if we loosen things up and become more democratic as an institution, as an organization, and broaden out, I think we'll see not just growth, I think we'll see fireworks happening. We'll see a lot of younger people, lots of people from all over the place getting more involved and lots more content. And I think we need to look at these issues and look at models that already exist.
Thank you. And may I say amen. Grayson Challenger, Jabari Zakia, and Carolyn Burden are next. Grayson? Okay. Okay. Jabari Zakia. Hey, Jabari.
Hi. Most of my comments I want to direct toward Greg, but for a point of information. My name is Jabari Zakia. I was on the interim Pacifica board that came out of the lawsuit in year 2000. I was basically on for 3 years about, and I was the interim treasurer of that board. And basically, I want to kind of direct things to Greg. One of the things that I think that Pacific, one battle that really needs to be sort of re-raised and rethought in a thoughtful way is the fact that within the structure of Pacifica, there is the fight between whether Pacifica is going to be a real network where there's going to be some standards and some top-down decisions that will compensate the local boards and the local station activities, or whether the national structure is going to be subsumed by all of this localism and that there will be no standardizations of programming and so forth and so on. I would urge you, I think you have to be, as you already kind of intimated in your comments that I heard, you really need to be a strong leader. There's a lot of stuff out here that has nothing to do with running a radio network, but a lot to do with other people's things and issues. I want to see Pacifica be more than a radio network. I think Pacifica needs to consider itself a communications network, which encompasses video, radio, internet, and print, and whatever forms of media that we can put out the word, we should do that. Second, to be very specific, we need to have a for-profit entity. I think the archives can be subsumed in a for-profit entity, which could incorporate the licensing and copyright issues. We also need to get all of our facilities in their own buildings. PFW should be its own building. BAI should be in its own building. We can do that if you have the vision. But the bottom line is, this organization will, I think, in this interim time, go no farther than your vision. Because if you want to kick butt and get all of this toxicity out of these local areas, things can happen. But if you allow this toxicity to remain, it's going to weigh you down, and you will leave 2 or 3 years from now shaking your head and saying, why did I ever come into this?
Time. Thank you. Carolyn?
I'm afraid that's good advice, Greg, to say that. Just so some of you know where I'm coming from, I'm Carolyn Burden. I'm on the LSB, as I've said. And I'm going to WBAI. And I'm going to try to refocus a little bit on the mission. I've been a teacher for 43 years, 36 of them, most recently at a community college. And so when you look at the mission, it doesn't talk about converting listeners. It doesn't talk about proselytizing listeners. It talks about educating listeners. So I'm going to ask us to please, and my own particular mission as chair of the elections committee is to ask you to please use the elections as an educational process. We must clean up the elections. There are a lot of things wrong with it, as you know. And so I'm going to use this opportunity to ask people who are not on the elections committee to volunteer to work in work groups and support groups and so on. There is so much to be done. We have to look at starting with what went wrong last time. And you need to look at the fair campaign rules, see where they were violated, and let us know. The Elections Committee is compiling a list. We're doing some reform, and we need to do that. And with regard to BAI, I am switching gears here. There is a dreadful situation there. There is a continuing breach of one member's rights, Paul DiRienzo. Regardless of what he did, keeping him off the board is simply a ploy by Justice and Unity to remove a vote against their positions, which it was. And the fact that there is an evaluation being conducted by someone who is the secretary, acting secretary of the person being evaluated, is ridiculous. It's the kind of illegal manipulation of the rules at WBAI that I wish this board would really look at very seriously, either through the governance committee or other means. It really must be addressed. Thank you.
Next speaker is Ayo Kendi. Ayo Kendi? Yeah.
Blessings and peace. My name is Ayo Handy Kendi.
Sorry.
No problem.
Okay.
I'm on the listener sponsor board of WPFW here. I'm also a 30-year community activist. I wanted to say several things. I'm going to try to make them as quick as possible. Last night, I spoke to the need for us to address the issue of racism, and as the young man also spoke on it, and so much of the day we've talked about it. Unless Pacifica recognizes the need to work really on peace within itself, we're going to implode from within to talk about these issues. You know, we must do something very concrete about racism, the core of so much that's dividing us. And if we want to get an audience to trust us, then we as a board have to represent what we speak to. So I think it's very critical that we take that as a national priority to deal with healing, to deal with the toxicity that not only invades society, but actually is very evident on this board and a lot of the issues that have been addressed today. Also, I think we have to be extremely creative. We have to focus on the things that we want, that we have a lot to do. But actually, if we focus on what we want as opposed to constantly bickering and fussing and screaming and griping and banging on tables and carrying on like we do in some of the meetings we've had here, as well as I see also in other parts of the country, then what that means is that we are not acting in peace. Again, once more, we must act as we want our audiences to expect from us. We can't expect anybody to do for us what we can't do for ourselves. So I think it's critical that we need to act in peace, and we need to institutionalize peace. And that secondly, and finally, that in our being creative, that we have to look at ways of creating the audiences through what we have here at WPFW. All due respect to Noberto, we definitely have a lot more public affairs program. I sat here and I did an analysis of it. We have a lot of mixtures of public affairs with the music. We've gone to the demonstrations, and if it wasn't for WPFW being at the demonstrations, we wouldn't have heard what was happening up on the stage, because WPFW broadcasts the demonstrations. We have 3 or 4 hours of news all throughout the day. We have public affairs that start from early in the morning until about half day, and then we have 3 or 4 shows in the evening, and I can go and I listen because I work at home, and I listen all day long and into the night. So I'm just encouraging us to look at creative ways of doing what we do. You can't have a mixture of justice and jazz, and PFW is doing a good job of it. Thank you.
Stephen Howard, Mitch Jezerich, and Richard Phelps.
I'll try and be as brief as I can. You know, in a court of law, when you misrepresent the facts, your credibility is normally questioned, and sometimes your entire testimony is thrown out of the case. I heard it said a while ago that Serene was up here yelling and screaming. Be honest with yourselves instead of being dishonest with the people in this room. Did anyone here hear Serene yell and scream while she was here a while ago? And like I said, be honest with yourself, rather than being shown your dishonesty in a room full of people. You know what? I know there are atheists in this room, and I'd just like to do some serious praying that this foundation, this board, would actually concentrate more time on moving us forward and coming with an agenda, a blueprint as to how we can get there by working together, than with the snickering and the bickering and all the petty BS that goes on in these meetings, and especially in the LSBs. We have a big, we have a big man to deal with this administration. And instead of us spending our energies and focus on what it is we need to be focusing on, all we want to do is start picking at each other and sniping at each other and all this kind of stuff. I mean, I haven't heard, besides the presentations by Lonnie and a couple of other people, I'm not hearing people coming forward with how we need to get from where we are now to where we need to be. We concentrate so much time on actually
killing ourselves, mm-hmm. that are enemies that we need to be focusing on, they're just sitting back and laughing because we've lost sight of what we need to be doing. And all these personal attacks that's going on, I wish it would end. And for us to refocus our energies on the people that we need to be dealing with instead of doing the kind of garbage that Steve Brown just laid out here a while ago.
Time. Thank you. Mitch Jezerich, Richard Phelps, and I believe it's Reddy or Reedy.
That's good. Thanks, John. Thanks for hearing me second time for today. And I really appreciate the last comments that were made about the infighting. You know, I remember the saying, communists eat their baby, and I used to think, what are they talking about? Until I got involved in Pacifica. That's just a joke and not aimed at anyone, you know? I just wanted to make a few responses to what Ron said, Ron Pinchback, WPFW general manager, on some of the comments he said. And first, I'd like to say I have a great deal of respect for Ron. I think there have been some very good things that have happened at WPFW and still going on. I'm a big fan of Ambrose Lane's show. I think your historical knowledge of what's going on and the way you're able to put it in context today is amazing. I've learned from it, and it's helped me in my reporting. Ron, I think you did a great job in bringing on the 11 o'clock hip-hop shows at night. I think that was a wonderful example of how the music and the politics and the culture really can mesh all together. And I think even though they go 5 minutes into our time every night and we really don't begin till 12:05, it's okay because 12:05, not a lot of people are listening to news anyways. And the date's wrong, and I mean, there's just a lot there, but that doesn't really matter. But I think there have been some very good things, and I commend you for doing that. I think that was very well done. Ron also said, and I agree, that there's going to be a lot going down in the next 2 to 3 years. But I think it's also very important to remember that a lot has gone down in the last 2 or 3 years. And the only entity that I have seen at Pacifica on Capitol Hill interviewing lawmakers, interviewing people in the administration, trying to make a change, trying to document this and being the only ones. I only have 30 seconds left. Any chance I can get an extra minute? I don't know.
That's what you get for being complimentary.
Yeah.
Give him some time.
Well, I mean, I would say Free Speech Radio News hasn't had a voice through this whole thing, so I don't know if that really matters, but maybe not. I guess I have 20 seconds now. My point is that Free Speech Radio News was there. Free Speech Radio News has been on the Hill. Free Speech Radio News has created a bureau. With all respect to the D.C. Bureau here at WPFW, the only truly national functional D.C. Bureau that Pacifica has had in the last 2 years is what we worked our rears off to form in these last 2 years. And we have a reporter crew that is a very diverse crew. It's diverse in ethnicity, it's diverse in sexual orientation. The only thing it's not diverse in is in gender. Out of about 8 of us, I'm the only male. And and I would also say,
Mitch, hang on. Yeah. May I ask the board for a motion to grant Mitch another 2 minutes? Is there any objection?
No.
Go ahead, Mitch.
So I just want to sort of point out, there was a training program at WPFW, and there was trouble by both sides. And I don't think either side acted properly, and it's completely fell apart. But there was at one time a very diverse group, and Free Speech Radio News worked with this group. And what would happen is they get them the basics, and then once people wanted to come onto the Hill and go to the Supreme Court and cover these other things, then I would take them and I'd give them some more training. And this is how we sort of developed. That's how I got here in Washington, D.C., by going through the KPFA newsroom as a volunteer with Mary Berg.
Yeah.
And eventually, I ended up here covering the Capitol Hill. And I just want to say quickly what some of our reporters through that program that no longer exists here in Washington has happened to them. 3 are still reporting on the Hill, and all 3 of them are also writing for local newspapers, doing local reporting here. One is a graduate student in journalism right now at American University. Another is writing for Gannett newspapers in New Mexico. And a third, of a new person that we're just talking about diversity and how we want to be important about this, is a new person who's just joined us. She was actually working for another public radio outlet, And they wouldn't let her go on the radio because she had a very slight Chinese accent. And if you understand U.S. media, that is the norm, not the exception. And when we found that out, we said, you come work with us, because this is what we believe Pacifica is about, and this is what we believe in pushing. And I am not here to try to tell the board, do something with WPFW, because I don't have the right to. As Ron said, people have been there for years. I've only been in Washington for about 2.5 years. And I don't feel like I have the authority to come in and do that. But what I do think I do have the authority to do as a part of Pacifica is to say, remember Free Speech Radio News. When you, people were asking, when some of you were asking questions about, it seemed to me that people were concerned about lack of coverage of news here and what's going on in the Capitol. Well, there is a Pacifica entity here doing it, and it's Free Speech Radio News. It's falling apart right now. We're doing our best to keep it together, but we're hoping, I haven't had health care in 2.5 years. My one visit to the doctor cost me $1,500, and this is the same for everybody else who's full-time employees with Free Speech Radio News. So please, I believe everyone has the best interest at heart. I just hope we don't let it fall through anymore through bureaucracies and internal wrangling. So thank you very much.
Richard.
Actually, I have a specific concern that comes into a general concern, which I'll try to get to very quickly. I'm very concerned about the Washington vote. I've asked a lot of people about this. There were 20 votes, 20 people voting, 6 candidates, 3 seats. And I'm told by the people who are concerned, they had a candidate who had 6 people voting for him. Under STV, that will get you elected. It didn't. There were 2 votes disqualified with a broken chain of custody by one person in a situation where there are factions. That should never happen. I'm an attorney in a court of law. That would get you off on a murder charge if the evidence was taken away like that and then brought back. It wouldn't be admissible. You've got to keep things where everybody can see them so that there is no question about things being taken away. And I worked on the election committee the very first LSB election year and helped decide questions of disqualified votes at the end. And in ABC, I think very clearly you could rank that 1, 2, 3. You know the intent. You try to make a ballot valid. If you can't make it valid, you don't. But you try to do that. But the other one where there's a split vote, if that's what it was, that should be counted. The problem I'm having in the general sense, you look at the Paul DiRienzo thing, you look at the way you guys handled the Sue Young matter today, and I've had nice discussions with Sue. I don't have anything personal with her, believe me. It's an issue of principle for me, but you guys tabled it, and that may disqualify all her votes and have to go back and I'll do them over later, because you guys are ignoring that for several months now. What we have here, in essence, since we do not have a Bill of Rights for the LSBs, like we have the 14th Amendment for the states, we have tyranny of the majority happening, and there's only one arbiter to get in the way and take care of that, and that's you guys. And you keep punting every time that comes up. You punt. And I'm just going to finish by saying, if we're going to advocate justice on the air, we have to do it, or it's a very hollow statement. Or as Gandhi said, be the changes that you want to see happen. All justice right. has to happen here.
Thank you.
Ready?
Ready? Am I pronouncing it correctly?
Excuse me.
Did I pronounce your name correctly?
Yes. Yeah, you're right. Thank you. My name is Akira Reddy. I'm from the concerned Ethiopian citizen. I was here on this board meeting a couple months ago, and then I thank all of you for giving us the 1 hour coverage about what's going on in Ethiopia. And also I thank Mr. Ran for running that station. May probably heard that he may probably know everything about what's going on in Ethiopia right now. We've been having 15,000 people in Washington D.C. on State Department, on the Capitol. We come out, we tell our problems. No one, no media, just gave us one clip of what we are asking. Now, I'm asking you again, we're going to have another demonstration with this mass of people on the state capitol this coming Wednesday at 7 a.m. to State Department, to the Capitol. And then I would like to ask you again a favor to demonstrate these things for us. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Craig St. I don't know whether it's Yamada or Jamada. St. Jamada, and then it'll be Norberto and Luzette.
Yeah. Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Peace.
Peace.
And blessing.
Thank you.
And some justice. Well, I only got a couple of things to say. I live in here in Washington. I don't know what Ron Pinchback is doing. I don't know whether it's right, but I saw a surplus. And part of that surplus came out of my pocket. I don't want too much changing. Otherwise, I'm going to be disenchanted. And my money would be disenchanted as well. My next other thing is that, when are you going to talk about putting Mr. Ambrose nationally? He ain't put... And now, like I say, I'm paying money here. Washington is a crazy, unique town. It's a lot of apathy here, but I'm speaking for myself.
30 seconds.
But it's a lot of other people that would speak the same as me about this gentleman going nationally, and Ron may not be doing things right according to whatever, but it's a surplus. Something is right.
Time.
A surplus. I don't like the music. I listen to the thing, but I don't read all the newspaper.
Thank you.
No, thank you. Thank you.
Thanks very much. Norberto?
Just quickly, just a few words. I appreciate Ron's words of cooperation, and I see that he's demonstrating that we will move on, and also we will make a few changes to WPFW, so I'd really encourage that. I also encourage our new, if I can say that, our new executive director of Pacifica to help us at WPFW to create a plan of work, a plan of action, with deadlines and commitments, so that we can, you know, move forward as a station in the area. I also encouraged everyone here to take a look at the actual schedule. I tried my best to really come up with what I did, so that you really see exactly where I got the information from. And this is basically what we have at WPFW. On Mondays, there are only two public affairs programs. Ambrose Lane is one, and also Hill DC with Johnny Eisenberg, 1 hour each. So it's basically 2 hours. The other programs are national programs. So the analysis that I did is basically focusing only mainly on the local programs that are created at WPFW. Democracy is national, so I did not include some of the hours. You should look at that, so that I am being fair with what I did. 1 hour, of Democracy Now, which is repeated twice a day. We have 30 minutes of community comment, and we also have Metro Watch, which is 30 minutes of news at WPFW, and then we get The Natural Living and the 30 minutes of Free Speech Radio News at midnight. So, I mean, you get a sense. I just want to give you a sense of, you know, and being fair. So if there are any mistakes, please point them to me, and we make corrections, and then we can proceed. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The last three speakers are Luzette, Osvaldo Kersey, and Serene Roberts.
Yes, I really didn't want to say anything, but I thought I'd say something anyway. The first, I think we should have a national discussion on what should go to executive session and what shouldn't. I'm very, very concerned about the way we deal with some issues in secrecy. The third is to do with our own elections. Now, let me add another point to what I've said before. There were two public witnesses up to the point of the counting of the ballots. Beyond that, there is no evidence that those two people were involved. As a matter of fact, one of those two persons was, there was a contradiction to the recollection of what happened, and that person is Dorcas. So this must have some implication for what happened. And all I'm saying, and I want to say publicly, that I, as a member of the LSB, is asking the chair to convene a special meeting to address this issue, because there will be no peace without justice. We need to, I don't mind losing. As somebody said, you lose. I don't mind losing, so long as the rules are followed. And let me tell you something. That very month, I come from St. Vincent and the Grenadines, and we had an election, and the party that won, I'm a member of that party. And I did not feel that the election was fair. And thanks to Ron gave me 2 hours to address that issue that was translated to St. Vincent and the Grenadines and throughout the Caribbean. Great. And we had people calling in. So what I'm saying, my mission here for justice, fairness, and everything else is not just here. And I'm only disappointed that I have to be fighting this from within Pacifica. And I ask again, a special meeting for us to discuss, to rescind that decision and do what is right. Thank you.
Excuse me, Luzette, are you referring to a special meeting of this board or of your local board?
No. I said the LSB. I did
Thank
say
you.
The LSB.
Thank you.
And I'm doing it publicly, so everybody's on notice.
Thanks.
Thank you.
The last two were Osvaldo and Serene, and actually Grayson asked to speak, so if both of the next two speakers stay within time, there'll be time for Grayson at the end.
Hi, my name is Osvaldo Kersey. I live in D.C. I'm a listener. And I have just a few questions in terms of marketing, concrete questions for the local station. I would like to know if there is any positioning known of the station in the local market, the geographic coverage. And if there was done any market research, and also if there are goals, concrete goals, and set deadlines on those goals, because what I perceive, and I might be wrong, but is that there's some sort of a status quo, and that people might say, yes, we are addressing those issues, but those issues keep going on and without being solved. So I would like to know if those issues have goals, and those goals have set deadlines, and if there is a positioning within the market of a local station, what the audience, the listeners, think of the local station, where we are in their minds. That's all.
We can't really respond, but maybe you could talk to Ron afterwards. I'm sure he can tell you the status of things.
Well, actually, it's for him to respond to all of us.
Okay. Serene?
Hi, I'm going to try not to traumatize you with my yelling and screaming this time. A couple of things. I invite people to visit our archive. It's www.wbi.org. Archive.wbi.org. Go to the website, which is wbi.org. Click on archives. You'll see how to get there. And listen to the LSB report from Wednesday, the 18th. It was on from 7 to 9 a.m. And you can actually hear in the second hour from 8 to 9, you can hear the layout of the entire program director's evaluation process, the committee presented its report. The person who is, and I wasn't here for the entire thing, but I'm hearing such interesting bits about what has allegedly happened at a station where I think I spent an awful lot of time. The person who has been helping the program director, and there are a number of people who have been helping the program director since his full-time assistant was laid off in what some people describe as an FOB move, and I thought it was kind of cute because I used to work in the shipping department, and FOB means freight outward bound, except in this case, apparently, it meant friends of Bernard. So, I don't know. So some of you might want to just listen so you'll actually understand the process, which has been very transparent. Our meetings are open. You can achieve voting membership. Any listener, any stranger, any person can walk in. You attend 3 meetings, you get to vote on any issue that comes up. It's closed for executive session where we're discussing personnel matters. There have been a relatively few, I think maybe just for the interviews during the process. So those meetings are open. The minutes are available. It can't be 30 seconds. Okay. So I invite you to go and listen to that. I understand that there were some statements here that our program council has failed to function because people feel that they're being attacked. The truth is that the attendance at program council meetings is mandatory for paid staff, for the department heads, for 4 department heads in particular, 2 of whom have never attended a meeting, attended no meeting, and the other 2 of whom sometimes show up and sometimes don't. But at any rate, the effect is that it deprives the body of quorum, making the only input for unpaid staff, which is what the program council is, making it unable to operate, while the people who fail to attend the meetings already, by virtue of their job description, have program decision-making power. Time. So, you know, talk to me later. What you hear, and I don't know if people were confused or deliberately trying to mislead, but there's a lot of stuff in the air.
Thank you. Grayson?
Hi, everybody. Hello. I want to welcome our chief executive, chief executive, and I must...
You can just take it out of that handle. There you go.
I appreciate his remarks and the sensitivity and sensibility that it expresses or conveys, and the depth of his thoughtfulness. I really appreciate that. I want to also say, as gracefully as I can, something that sort of relates to money and the way it's sort of, its effect, basically. I work in an engineering capacity at WBAI, and in the course of doing that, we've had several failures that were due to communications, sometimes due to power loss and things like that. And we've discussed the entire notion of putting in our own generators and things like that. And we thought about it and we said, okay, so what does several hours of airtime cost us? Or even a day or two? And how many commercial dollars do we lose because we have advertisers? And the answer is 0. And so we thought about putting in backup generators and we thought of the cost of putting it in the room and things like that. And it didn't seem to be worth it. And the conveyance also from, you know, our studios to Verizon, will the power loss compensate for their circuitry failure as well? And so we thought it was a bad idea. I also thought that $750,000 for putting in 2 generators, say you put in 30 kilowatt generators, you know, for the transmitter because it doesn't use 50 kilowatts if you have 50 kilowatt transmitter. And I think that is a sort of remarkable number. I also want to talk about free speech or radio news and how money affects it. And this is, again, allocation of funds. When you look at, in our news department, there are several people who are actually working in our news department and also trying to submit and are submitting news reports to free speech radio news. That tells you what the effect of money can be on any structure. And my concern is, are there any guidelines being thought about in regard to how we manage the effect of paying, say, $160 to news reporters who produce a four-minute piece, and how that will affect the general news program in each station, and how does that work? And we're prepared to work out the dynamics and the interaction that occurs of starving one and fattening the other and all those kinds of things. And apparently, I don't think we have come to that place. There's a lot more I can say, but I'll just call it there.
Thank you very much, and thanks to everybody for staying so long.